Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Acts 16:25-31. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So we get that awesome Fred Hammond song. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. He's gonna work in your favor. I know my key is all off. Don't start me, Jimmy. You better stop. Just chill. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. There was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. How many of you know your praise can set somebody else's chains loose? Your praise sets people free. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, I love this, underline this, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Then they spoke, I love this, the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house at that hour. Underline that. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, you can underline that, he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. And the church said, if you're taking notes on this message today, I said I was going to preach this a couple weeks back. I'm going to preach it today. If you want to give it a title, it's called How to Be Cool. How to Be Cool. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. For each and every person in this place, God, before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that would be here, God. You're not surprised, God, and I'm thanking you right now that I lie down, you rise up. Don't let these words be mine. Let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray for the one that needs to hear this word the most. Open hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to this word that you have for them today. I pray by the time it's all said and done, somebody learns about Jesus that never knew about him before. And God, I pray for those that have run, I pray that they would come home. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, everybody said, give God one more shout of praise. Beautiful. Overflow, y'all still with me? Sounds like more of them out there. Praise God. If you've ever been to church, how many of y'all have heard the story of Paul and Silas before? Just raise your hand. Let me see. A lot of them. That's good. It's okay. It's okay if you haven't. I actually kind of prefer if you haven't heard the story because it makes it more fun to tell. Pretty much, the long and short of it is the Apostle Paul, the man whose life changed on the road to Damascus. This was a man that killed Christians. He saw Jesus literally fell off of his donkey. He was blinded, and after it happened, he never looked at life the same way again. Eventually, the scales fell off of his eyes, and when he woke back up, he came back into life as a man that feared God, loved God, and this same Apostle Paul is literally the one that probably wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament that I'm reading to you right now. Can I tell you, in an instant, somebody's life can be changed? Doesn't matter how bad they were. I don't know anybody as bad as Paul. And Paul changed. But Paul, he had different traveling companions along his journey. And one of those traveling companions was Silas. Him and Silas went all throughout the towns preaching Jesus. And the problem with traveling with Paul is Paul was always getting in trouble. How many of y'all got a friend that's always getting in trouble? Like, I would not be friends with Paul. I like reading about Paul. I wouldn't be his friend because I don't like getting in trouble. Like, jail is the last place I ever want to be. I'm too pretty. I don't want to go. So I don't hang with nobody that I know is going to get me to that place. And the church said, amen. Amen. I love Paul. He wouldn't have been my friend. So Paul, you know, when you're traveling him, it's more than likely you're going to end up in jail. So Paul and Silas, man, they're out there doing their thing. They're preaching Jesus and they get jailed. And when they do, they are put in stocks. They are put in shackles. And back then, jails now are humane in comparison to the jails that these men were placed in. And as they're placed in jails, they're placed in shackles, in stocks. Their head is locked in the stocks along with their hands, and they're chained in a deep, nasty dungeon. There is no air conditioner. There is nothing sanitary in this place. And when you would think that they would give up because they are in the worst of worst situations, late in the midnight hour, they start singing. Now, I don't know what they were singing because we don't even know if there were any recorded hymns of the time. But they just started to sing. They just started to sing their own song. I want to encourage somebody in this place today that when you feel locked down, when you feel like there's nowhere to go, why don't you just open your mouth and start singing your own song? They started singing their own song, and the Bible says that late in the midnight hour, there was an earthquake, and the prison began to shake, and their shackles fell off. But the beautiful part was, not only did their shackles fall off, every prisoner in the prison's shackles fell off. You know why I like that? Because you probably ask yourself, why? There were guilty men there. Why would God ever want them to be free? Because Jesus came to set the captives free. See, some of y'all think certain people aren't allowed to have the same grace that you have. When God frees people, he frees everybody. And I love it because their shackles come off, and that's usually the part when the preacher starts to go crazy and says, late in the midnight hour. Yeah. If I go any higher, my voice will crack. And they start hooping, and they start hollering. But that's not the part of the story I want to preach to you, because the most interesting part of this story happens after that. The funny part is, the most interesting part of the story has nothing to do with Paul and Silas. Has everything to do with the jailer. And on this celebration Sunday, this baptism Sunday, I couldn't think of a better story to illustrate and break down for you than the one of this jailer. And if I was him, I'm sure there's some questions. After you see an earthquake, let's just say you're at your job. And your job was to make sure that something was secure. But something happened, and everything that you were supposed to secure is no longer secure. What would you be thinking in your brain at that moment? I'ma get fired. Not I'm going to get fired. I'ma get fired. I'ma get fired. What was the jailer thinking? And there's three questions that I believe that the jailer asked himself that you should ask yourself today in context to baptism. And the first is this: why am I here? Why? Like, could you imagine your job is to keep something secure and then everything goes wrong at your job? The first thing you might ask yourself is, why, God? Why me? This could have happened to anybody in the world. Why me? Why am I here? How did I get in this situation? Why am I here? Look what the Bible says, Acts 16, 25, 31. I promise you I'm going to go quick. Here we go. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, some of y'all had bad days at work, I know. But you ain't trying to kill yourself on the job. He drew his sword and tried to kill himself because he thought the prince, talk about somebody that really took their job seriously. Because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." I love this verse that the jailer wakes up. He's shot. Why am I here? What's happening? Okay, I'm done. They're going to kill me anyway. I might as well just kill myself. He pulls out his sword and Paul says, "Stop. Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The prisoners that were locked up stayed. The only person that actually had freedom in the jail was the jailer. And all the prisoners stayed. I find it funny that the only person in that prison that was actually in jail was the jailer. The only person that was in a prison was the jailer, because even the prisoners understood that those shackles being taken off did not necessarily mean slave or free, because they were not slaved by their shackles, which means they weren't so fast to run out when the shackles came off. But the prison guard, "I'm dead." He thought he had no other options. He thought he had nowhere to go. The only man with the keys to the jail thought he didn't have the keys. The man with the keys said, "I have no other options." I don't know who I'm talking to, but there might be people in this room today that feel like you don't have a way out of your situation. You literally have the keys in your hand to get out, but you feel like you're in prison. He had the keys. He thought, "My only escape is death." I don't know who I'm talking to today, but if I can be very honest with you, don't let my pastoral title fool you, because there have been times in my life, even though I had the keys in my hand, I have felt like my only way out was death. I just want to be honest with you, because I'm human and I know I'm not the only person that has ever felt that way. There's so many people in this place that get backed into a corner and they ask themselves, "Why am I still here? Why am I here?" Your loved ones abandoned you and you thought they never would. Why am I still here? You don't have a job. You can't get a job. The job you thought you would rely on just let you go. Why am I still here? I ain't got no money in my bank account. It's funny, my bills are stacked high and my bank account is low. Why am I still here? I just got out of prison and nobody wants to give me a second chance at life. Why am I still here? Nobody wants to hire me. Why am I still here? The doctor said it's terminal. Why am I still here? A marriage is falling apart. I thought I'd be with him or her forever. Why am I still here? I want my marriage to work, but my spouse doesn't. Why am I still here? I'm being abused and nobody knows about it. But it's even worse, I don't even think anybody cares. Why am I still here? Why? Why am I here? Pastor, I'm trying to just grow to be the man and woman of God that I want to be, man, but high school is tough. This bullying is out of control. They keep on talking about me. I don't know if I could get past it. Pastor, why am I still here? Nobody likes me. Why am I still here? They talk about me all the time. Why am I still here? I recently lost somebody that I thought was going to be here forever. Why am I still here? A good person just died that shouldn't have died. I don't even deserve to be here. Why am I still here? This storm took everything from me. Why am I still here? Why am I still here? I want y'all to hear me and hear me very good when I say this. I want you to hear the words of Paul. I want you to hear the words of Silas, and I want you to hear the word of the Lord that was spoke through every prisoner that was in that prison. You ask, why are you still here? The word of the Lord for you today is, don't harm yourself. We are all still here. Don't harm yourself. We are all here. You're not going through what you're going through alone. Do you realize that the only thing that might be stopping somebody from harming themselves is us still being here? Why do we not forsake the gathering? Because the only thing that's going to stop somebody that has keys in their hand from feeling like they don't have any way out is because we're here. We are here. You need to see yourself as more valuable than you see yourself. You literally may be somebody's lifeline. Somebody's looking for Jesus and all they got is you. We're still here. What are we going to do if we're here? Are we just going to watch people perish or are we going to step into action? What are we going to do? There's people on an island right now that don't even have an island left. And they're saying, what am I doing? And we're saying, we are here. We're going to do something. You don't have to give up. Because we haven't given up on you.
Come on.
The prisoners didn't give up on the person that imprisoned them.
My God.
We are all still here. See, body of Christ, we got to start treating our brothers and sisters better. Because we have to realize that there's people all over the place that are asking themselves, why? Why am I still? Maybe you walked into this place today and I said something that rung a bell in your brain. I want you to know that you're not by yourself. We are all still here. Don't harm yourself. We are here with you. Grab somebody and pray with them. Tell somebody they're amazing today. Hug somebody that never got a hug before. You don't know, that little gesture is letting them know that somebody is with them in the fire. Somebody is with them in the prison. They're not jailed up alone because we are all still here. If you're still here, you still got work to do. Why am I here? May have been the first question he asked himself, but the second I can guarantee you was this. Then what am I waiting for? What am I waiting for? For the Bible says in Acts 16, 29 to 33, the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Says, he then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do? This man went from being about to kill himself. He went from that to asking what needs to be done for him to get saved. Because they were still there. Look at this. It says, he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Then, I love this, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all in his household. You better get this word in your heart because there's going to come a moment where somebody asks you what they need to do to feel the way you feel and know what you know, and you better not give them your wisdom. You better give them God's word.
Yeah.
You give them God's word. It says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in the house, and at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. What am I waiting for? I love that it says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. How many of y'all ever get sick? I get sick. I don't like getting sick. I hate colds. You ever had the flu? So none of y'all? Okay. All right. Praise God. Tough crowd. I'm dying up here. I got water splashing in my face. I'm up here baptizing myself. I get sick. And when I get sick, my wife knows. I'm a big baby. I'm a man child. I'm like, ah, my mama didn't take care of me this way. She cut the chicken up smaller and my chicken soup. Ah. Girl, you don't know how to make it right. I don't want Campbell's. I want it homemade.
Fellas, I lost all respect from every man in the room just now.
I ain't being sick. Because, like, when I'm sick, I want the medicine to work now. Like, I want to pop it in my mouth, and I want to be raised from the dead like Lazarus. It's like, ah! That Ricola was bussing, like I just want it to work. How many of you know, like, medicine don't work like that? Like, you pop the medicine in, and it takes time. Has to go through your system, throughout your bloodstream. It has to flow all throughout your body before it can actually start to take effect. How many of you know a lot of people treat salvation the same way? Like, y'all be treating God like he's Robitussin. Y'all be treating God's power like it's Theraflu. Like you gonna put it in your mouth, and then like 3 days later, after the whole prescription has been ingested, then you feel better. Salvation ain't Theraflu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happens instantly. The Bible says, when I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart, I am a new creation, not next week. I'm new now. Salvation ain't medicine. It's the best medicine you can take, but it definitely don't work like medicine does. It works instantly. I love it because the Bible says it like this. It says that the moment the word was spoken, it says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. He went from being the man, in a moment, he went from being the man that jailed them to being the man that washed their wounds. It didn't take no time. It didn't take any time. What I'm trying to say to you today is just because he had the title of jailer didn't mean that he had to keep acting like one. They may call you a liar.
Come on.
You ain't got to keep acting like one.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may call you a hood. They may call you a thug. When you got the power of Jesus on the inside of you, you ain't got to keep acting like one. They may call you a deadbeat. They may say you're nothing. They may call you lazy. You ain't got to keep acting like one. They may call you promiscuous. In the words of the youngsters today, they may call you a thought. But you ain't got to keep acting that way. When the power of the Holy Spirit is in, some of y'all butts got real tight when I said that. You don't have to act like the labels the world has put on you. In a moment, you could change. This man went from the person that locked him up to the person that took care of him. What can God do for you in a moment? All you got to do is start changing the way that you act, because Jesus said, when I died for you and you received me, you were changed in an instant. If you want to keep acting the fool, that's on you, because you have the power to change your actions. Some of y'all waiting on Jesus to change your actions. He's in your heart. He don't control your body, though. Hey, please come back to church next week. I'll be nicer. I'm just saying, like we come in the God's house, and if I could take the side of some of my seasoned saints today, because I'm never on the side of religion, but I know there's some seasons, say, where it's like they expect you to change when you come into God's house. And if I could be honest, I do too. I really do. Like, some of us take this grace for granted. We get saved. We are a new creation, and we keep acting the same old stinking way. Change, man. Like, you want to be you forever? I don't want to be who I was yesterday. I want to be better. How many of you want to be your best self? You can't keep being your old self. Like, you have to change. God changes your heart, but you have to change your actions. I love it because he says, what am I waiting for? Like, they didn't even have to tell him what to do. See, that's the thing about people changing their actions. Usually you ain't got to tell them what to do. They already know. He knew. I jailed them. I should wash their wounds now. I'm sleeping around. I should stop. I don't think it's as hard as we make it. Right. And here's the beautiful thing. God's not even asking you to do it on your own. You have the power of Christ on the inside of you. Anybody has the ability to change. If you don't, then God's not fair. Yeah. God loves you way too much to shackle you. You are not a prisoner. You are in prison, but the shackles are off. You have to make the next move. Yeah. The story's trying to give you the gospel, y'all. Yeah. You gotta make a choice. I love it because the Bible, it says at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. That was one action he did immediately. And then look at what it says next. It's beautiful. It says then immediately he and his household were baptized. Like, they ain't wait. Like, people give me every excuse in the world of why they're not baptized. Like, this dude was the least likely person to meet Jesus that night. This was the dude that was trying to kill himself, right? But he wasted no time before he got baptized. Like, we always waiting on the conditions to be right. Like, I want to get baptized, but you know, some stuff going on. Like, I ain't bring my clothes. We got a shirt and a towel. We got some clothes for you. The weather ain't right. Sit down, fool. We live in Miami. Stop. It's sunny outside. The hurricane is gone. We're good. Well, I want to get baptized, but I ain't right. Newsflash. None of us are. I'm not right, but God took my wrong to make me right. That's the gospel in a nutshell, if you caught it. Why'd I get baptized? Because I ain't right. Right. But I acknowledge that Christ took my wrong to make me right. Christ took my wrong. When I get baptized, I'm not acknowledging that I made myself better. See, people that don't get baptized, they want to live that self-help life. I got myself better. You can't. Because there's a limit to what you can do. When I get baptized, what I'm doing is acknowledging that I did not save myself. I'm acknowledging I'm not perfect. I'm acknowledging I still mess stuff up. I'm acknowledging who is the source of the salvation of my life. That's what baptism is all about. It's not saying that you got it all figured out. It's just saying that you acknowledge the one who had the ability to cleanse you from the inside out. I'm not right, but God, Jesus Christ, is right. He takes my wrong and makes me right. That's why we get baptized. So stop making excuses today. If you're waiting on you, the time will never be right. Because you always gonna come up with an excuse. Some of y'all came today, I wasn't planning on getting baptized. You should really be thinking about it right now. I know people that's been saved for years and still ain't baptized. Will it stop you from getting to heaven? No. But you should definitely be obedient. Like, Jesus got baptized. Who are you? Like, have you reached a level of holiness that some of us don't know of that is beyond Jesus? Well, I am too dignified. I don't need baptism. Pharisee, remove yourself from this place. My wife always get mad at me because she be like, you be kicking people out of church every week. Man, listen, I love everybody. But I got to tell you the truth. Because the Bible, Jesus Christ, is grace and truth. Some of y'all been waiting years to dunk. Like, are you scared the water's gonna burn you? Like, it's water. You take showers every day. You should baptize yourself. Jesus. Like, it's water. It's symbolic of who has the power and the control over your life. You got to do it in front of people because people should see it. People go, that's, man, I want to get baptized. People going to see. I've had people like, hey, could you like meet me at the beach one day and baptize me there? I'm like, hold up. So you won't get baptized in a tub in front of a church, but you go to the beach with millions of people along the beach because they don't know you as different? See, that's the thing. The people should know you because they need to hold you accountable to the decision that you just made. I want everybody to know that I love Jesus. Everywhere I go, I want people to call me out. Pastor Terrence, you know why? Because it holds me accountable to the decision that I made to love Jesus, and I want everybody to know about it. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. You don't want people to know about it. That's the whole point. Everybody, Jesus call. I love my pastor, man, Pastor Rich Wilkerson. He says this in every altar call. He says, everybody Jesus called, they called publicly. Wowee. I love my pastor. That's my dad. I could do that. Spiritual dad. I could do that. Everybody called, he called. Jesus made sure he called you out. Why? Because he wanted you to make a decision. It's a decision, not one that you hide. I'm saved, but I don't want anybody to know. What's the fun in that? You know what? You know what you are? You're in prison without shackles on. I'm going to keep bringing that back as many times as I can because it just sounds cool. Why am I here? What am I waiting for? Lastly, why don't we celebrate? Why don't we celebrate? Jimmy, man, make this thing sound extra spiritual. I need your fingers on them keys, brother. Come on, Jimmy. I get baptized every time I drink this water, y'all. It's like, it's never happened before. Like, it's weird, strange. God, you trying to tell me something? You need to go down again, son. Okay. Why don't we celebrate? Acts 16:34. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. I love it. He and his whole household. Could you imagine if your whole house got saved? You know that's why we started this church, right? He was filled with joy because he had come to believe. Like, some of y'all make accepting Jesus like a prison sentence, man. But you should be filled with joy because you have come to believe in God. Salvation and baptism is always a celebration. Why do you think we cheer every week when people get saved here? Because I know what's happening in heaven right now. You hear me say it. The angels are singing. Some of them break dancing. The food is out. God's up in his throne like this, turning up. See, some of y'all, some of y'all so holy and so spiritual, you can't believe that God celebrates. Where do you think you get your ideas about celebration from? He made you. Like, some of y'all think God doesn't have a sense of humor. Where do you think you get your laugh from? Where do you think you get your smile from? Where do you think your joy comes from? That's why it gives you strength, because your joy can't give you strength, but the joy of the Lord can. Don't be a salvation hater. This house is a house of celebration. Don't be a salvation hater. You say, well, what is that? What's that sound like? Well, Pastor, you're going to need to hold him under at least 5 seconds. He got some demons that got to come out before you bring. Don't be a salvation hater. That young man made his journey to come down there and you still ain't do it. You need to hold him down until it take. Just wait till right before he about to stop breathing and then bring him, because that's real resurrection power. Don't be a salvation hater. She think we don't see who she is. She getting baptized. I know that ain't gonna last. Don't be a salvation hater. How you know what she gonna do and what she not gonna do? When did you become her God? Don't be a salvation hater. Huh? Who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? Oh, he got saved today. He better not be trying to tell me how to live my life tomorrow. Don't be a salvation hater. When people get excited about the grace that they have received from Jesus, you get excited with them. If I could be honest, man, like, I love when people just get saved. If I could be honest, sometimes they're overbearing. But you know why I don't slow them down? Because I'm excited that they're on this track, because they got off of a track that was going to kill them. I would rather them be overbearing about Jesus than be way too conscious of the devil and the hell that awaits them if they don't. We are not going to hate on people that are doing the right thing. We are no one's judge and jury in this place. What we are is a family. So what we're going to do is love on everybody, every man, woman, and child that has decided to make a public declaration of their faith, because it's always a party when somebody gets saved. Don't allow your preconceived notions about people and your insecurities about your own salvation dictate what you say about somebody else. You see, I love a good party. But you know what I don't like? Party poopers. I just had a birthday. My wife, man, I love you, girl, because you always make sure I got a party. And when I got a party, I try to get around and talk to everybody to make sure I connect it with everybody. But you know what I don't like? I don't like when somebody's sitting over in the corner and they just on their phone. I was like, put your phone down. I only turned 38 once. Like, come talk, come chill with me. Don't be a hater. Like, don't, like you come to those parties where they say, oh, say something nice about the person, and the person get up and their whole speech is about themselves. Happy birthday, man. If it wasn't for me, man, sit down. This ain't about you, man. It's their decision. It's about them. Because here's a reality. When you're not having fun in the party, you're the one that looks strange. Like, you ever been to a party, everybody turning, and then you over here talking about some. Now, you know you ain't texting nobody. You done looked at the same pictures on Instagram 57 times each. I don't care how many times you look at the post you just put. You didn't get one more like. Stop. Don't be like, you look strange when everybody else is celebrating and you don't join in on the celebration. So how do you be cool? Celebrate. You want to be cool? Celebrate. This is a house that will always celebrate people, whether they've been saved for a day or whether they've been saved for 100 years. We want to celebrate you because you've done the right thing. If you want to encourage people to keep doing the right thing, celebrate them. You celebrate them. As long as I'm a part of this house, you can't be a hater in this house. Long as I'm a part of this house, I want you to know, don't harm yourself. We're all here for you. As long as I'm a part of this house, I'm going to expect you to make a change. Want to be cool? We're going to celebrate, because that change happens for people each and every week. And I want you to hear this from my mouth. If you haven't made that change yet, if you haven't made that decision yet, this is a no judgment zone. I wish you would make it today, but if you didn't, I'm not going to treat you any differently. I'm going to celebrate you because God created you, and you are worth celebrating. love Paul and Silas because they knew even the man that jailed them was worth celebrating. Could have easily been like, no, you hurt me. I don't want to party with you. Get past what people did to you and look on what God has done for them. Because if you don't look at what they did to you and you look at what God has done for them, you will always celebrate them. Today, there's so many people in this room, and I know that people have committed their lives to Jesus, but I'd be a fool to believe that everybody in this room has. Here's the truth. If you haven't, I want to celebrate you today. I want to celebrate you. With every head bowed, every eye closed.
Wow, what a message. Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.